So everybody join me in welcoming Mayor George Fosdick. Mayor?
Thank you, Reverend Maxim. I'm very pleased to have this opportunity to speak to the members of the congregation of the OCM Grace Church. But first, as I often do, I have a little story to tell you about my particular relationship with that church over the past years. As some of you may know, going back to the early days of Richfield Park, we actually had two Lutheran churches. The Westview section was settled primarily by Swedes, and they had the Emmanuel Lutheran Church, which the services were conducted in Swedish. That building is now a two-family house at 244 Fifth Street. And then there was the Christ Lutheran Church, where you are presently located, and their services were conducted in German. So we had two Lutheran churches in Richfield Park, and you're in what was originally the Christ Lutheran Church, where they spoke German. But my connection with that is this, is when I was growing up in Richfield Park, my closest friend was Charles Sievers, and the Sievers families were congregants of the Christ Lutheran Church. And Charles and I, this goes back to the 1950s, used to do various things to make money, the different things we wanted to do. And we used to pull our lawnmowers around, hand lawnmowers behind our bicycles and do various things. We'd wash windows in those days, put up screens and things like that. But where you are presently located, I think you now have, well, I know you have, behind the church proper, a building which was a lot. And one of our jobs was to cut the grass by hand in that lot as well as around the church. And we wound up for a period of time being custodians of the church, for which each of us were paid $3 a week to cut all the grass and to keep the church clean, so on and so forth. And I did that for a couple of years, and that was my connection to the church. So I just thought you might find it a little bit interesting. But beyond that, I do want to commend the church. The initial call I received was that the church wanted to know how they could participate and help with our current COVID-19 emergency. Of course, it's occurring all over the world. And I want you to know how much we appreciate that true Christian spirit of brotherhood and love, which, by the way, as we all know, is the essential Christian message, and that is love thy neighbor as thyself, for being willing to step forward and to provide assistance. As I pointed out to Reverend Maxim, in Richfield Park, we're a community of a lot of strong neighborhoods. And we have that occur almost automatically, neighbors always ready to step in and help neighbors. We have posted on our village emergency management website, Richfield Park Office of Emergency Management, a telephone number, 201-440-2570, for anybody who would like to volunteer to assist, as well as to anyone who may need assistance of any kind. And it's interesting to tell you that we have had far more calls from people who are willing to volunteer to help than we have from people who need help. Significantly, far more calls from volunteers. And this is a wonderful tribute to the community in which we all live and in which we are ready to step up and help in this crisis. This is a crisis. It is not over. Little steps are being taken to help ease the burden somewhat. But basically, as we all know, the basic orders to keep social distance, to wash your hands all the time, to avoid close contact, to wear masks when outside. All those prohibitions remain in effect, including a prohibition on congregations gathering for church services. But we hope that there will be a time in the future where we'll be in, again, all be able to gather together. But in terms of anything particular that I would say that relates to the crisis that we're in, and I claim no originality for this, but I want to go back to a little bit of history. But 90 years ago, in the city of New York, a very prominent church opened in 1930. The Riverside Church of the city of New York at 120th Street and Riverside Drive. It is still a predominant feature in that area. When you look across the river, you can see Riverside Church. Well, the founding pastor of that church was a distant relative. The Reverend Dr. Harry Emerson Fosdick is the founding pastor of the Riverside Church in the city of New York, and he served there for many years. As a little boy, I only had an opportunity to hear him preach once, and I was probably too small to understand it. But that would be shortly after World War II, and my grandfather took me in to hear one of his sermons. But I want to go back to the opening service of Riverside Church in the city of New York, because there is a lesson from a hymn that Dr. Fosdick wrote for that, that I think would be the message I would like to leave with you today. And if I can remember, and I think I have it from memory, I forget the title of the hymn, but it might be For the Living of These Days. But it goes, the words of him goes like this: God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of each hour. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days. And I think those words of Dr. Fosdick, written for him to Riverside Church back in 1930, certainly apply to all that we are doing today in the face of this pandemic that we are in. So I simply leave you with this message. I would ask that you join with me and all of us, again, ask God to give us the wisdom and the courage so that we may get through each hour and each day with the idea that at the end of the day, we'll be better off at the beginning of the day. Understanding there'll be bumps in roads, bumps in the road as we go forward, but we will go forward with wisdom and courage under the guidance of our good Lord Jesus Christ and God. This is the message I believe in you. I believe it strongly. It has helped guide me through the difficult times that we're all having, and I appreciate very much this opportunity to speak to all of you. I wish you well, and I wish you the wisdom and the courage to get through the days that we're in. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you so much, sir. If it's all right with you, I would like to say a prayer for you and your lovely wife, Susan, and just thank you for all of your years of service to Ridgefield Park. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for Mayor Fosdick and for his wife, Susan. We thank you, Father, for their many years of serving the Ridgefield Park community. We know, Lord, that the volunteering of the residents and the desire to help one another and love one another comes from his leadership. And we thank you, Lord, that he has been serving so dedicatedly and that he is a man of faith. And we pray, Father, that you would richly bless him and his family members. And Lord, we just pray that you'll continue to watch over Ridgefield Park. And let me just say a final blessing from the book of Numbers for Mayor Fosdick and for Susan. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all of God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Mayor. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Okay. And now we're going to start our worship with Susan will be leading us to the call of worship.
Good morning.
Important scripture, speaking the words of Jesus here, follows a very dramatic healing of a man who was blind since he was born. And you'll remember that in that story, the Pharisees, being very suspicious of Jesus and not wanting Jesus to gain any kind of recognition at all, questioned the healing of this man who was healed and given his sight. And they continually pursued him and his family, doubting even that he was blind since birth, trying to disprove all of those things. And brothers and sisters, that kind of an attitude is not just in the Pharisees, but it is sometimes seen in our own lives. And it shows a heart that is in need of Jesus Christ's renewal. It's a heart that is holding on to this world, holding on to its self-will, holding on to its own power. And that is a heart that God can change. And it's done through Jesus Christ. And so this scene where the blind man who is made to see astoundingly looks at the Pharisees when they question whether he was truly healed or not. And the Pharisees ask him, where is this man Jesus from? And he looks at them and he says, I can't believe that you're asking me that question. And he so much says, can't you tell that it comes, he's coming from heaven? He's coming from God. You know, I can't tell. Why are you asking me these questions? You know, isn't it plain to see? And then he goes to Jesus. And Jesus talks to the man, and he believes in Jesus as the Son of God. And he is saved. An amazing story. But the Pharisees continue to show contempt and disbelief. And so Jesus begins to talk in these verses, 1 to 10 in chapter 10 of John. Let's take a look at the wisdom that is found here for us from God's word, shall we? It begins, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. And so Jesus brings things into a very well-known kind of a scenario that the people of the time would know, that of a shepherd and sheep and being in a sheepfold. And this sheepfold was a place where the sheep of different shepherds, not just one shepherd, but different shepherds would come, and they would spend the night, and then they would be led out to pasture the next day. But in this verse, Jesus is speaking very directly to the Pharisees, saying that he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. And so he is saying to them straight out that you are trying to steal away someone who has come into the kingdom of God and believes in Jesus Christ. And so they were coming into that sheepfold where the sheep of Jesus were and were going to steal them out like a thief and a robber. He goes on to say, but he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So the shepherd of the sheep doesn't go in another way to bring harm to the sheep. The shepherd goes through the door, and he is the shepherd of the sheep, right? And he's going to lead them out into the pasture. And it says in verse 3, to him the gatekeeper opens. And so there was a gatekeeper there. And we think that this means that the gatekeeper would be there overnight and then open the door when the sheep, the shepherd would come to take the sheep out to pasture, right? And then it says this, he knows the shepherd, right? The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And this is a very, very beautiful scene here and very touching, because the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd when he's coming, and he calls out to them by name. And then he takes them out from there into the pastures. And so they know his voice, and they know that he's there to take care of them. A shepherd was someone that we know from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I have everything that I need. And he leads me, right, to green pasture beside the still waters. He takes me into these places where I can find rest. The shepherd was there to care for the sheep, not to rob them and take them away and do them harm, but to bless them. And Jesus is that shepherd who is going to do that for them. And they recognize the voice of the shepherd. It goes on to say in verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I want to share with you a story that will help us to be able to understand this a little bit better. It's by a man who had been in Palestine in recent times, and there are still shepherds there in that area. And he shares a story where one afternoon he stood on a ridge overlooking a long, narrow gorge. And the gorge opened out into a rolling grass-covered pasture land. And there was a single trail going down the length of the gorge floor, and then it branched out into dozens of trails when it reached the grasslands. And a group of shepherds strolled down the gorge trail, chatting with one another, followed by a long, winding river of sheep. And at the forks of the trail, the shepherds shook hands, and they separated, each taking a different path, as they headed out into the grasslands. And he recounted the fascinating sight that followed. As the shepherds headed their separate ways, the mass of sheep streaming behind them automatically divided into smaller flocks, each flock stringing down the branch trail behind its appropriate shepherd. And when the various shepherds and their flocks were distanced from each other by a few hundred yards, each shepherd turned to scan his own sheep, noting that some strays had been left behind and were wandering in confusion among the rocks and brush. And then one of the shepherds cupped his hands around his mouth and called in a strange, piercing cry, "Ki-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya," something like that. And at his shout, a couple of stray lambs perked up their ears and bounded toward his voice. And then a second shepherd tilted back his head, calling with a distinctly different sound, "Yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-y then another called his strays with a shrill hoot, 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 hoot. And each shepherd in turn called, and each of the strays, hearing a familiar voice, knew exactly which shepherd he should run to. And so they had a distinct voice that they called their sheep with. And that was the way that they identified with that. And we can imagine that those sheep, hearing that voice, knew that they were to follow. And they were in safe hands because of that person calling them. There were other calls going out, but only the sheep that knew the voice of the shepherd followed that voice and the things that they cried out. It's a fascinating thing in the lives of these shepherds like that. But Jesus is, of course, talking about himself here. And his voice is one that his sheep, who are the people like this man who was saved and was given his sight, followed him. He knew Jesus. And when he was approached by the Pharisees, he knew that that was not the voice of his shepherd and that he needed to stay with Jesus. He knew that he had been healed by him and he knew that he could trust him. Jesus came into that man's life and he knew him as his shepherd. It's an amazing, amazing thing that Jesus is teaching to them here. In verse 5, it says, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. We'll come back to this section in just a bit and talk some more about that, but let's go on. In verse 6, it says, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And so these people who had just been arguing with Jesus needed more of an explanation. And also the other people that were there needed the explanation. So Jesus says this to them in verse 7. Again, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door. The sheep enter and go in, go out, go and in, out, through. Let me say that again. I am the door. The sheep enter and go and in, out, through. Right. And so he uses this door now to explain what he's trying to say to them. And in this kind of an instance, we believe that what it means is that the shepherds, when the weather was good and when it was warm, then they would not take the flocks back into the town, into these folds, but they would stay out in the fields and they would arrange for a makeshift kind of a fold for them, so that they would stay through the night there. And in order to bring the sheep into those makeshift folds, they themselves would lie down in front of the fold and be that door so that the sheep would know where to go. And they would follow that shepherd and climb over the shepherd through that door that he was providing for them and stay in the fold there and be secure. So Jesus is intentionally teaching this to them. Jesus is the door, and he is the way to come into the fold, into safety, into provision, into protection, where he would stay with them throughout the night. In verse 8, it says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. And so there were other people of the day who came, false prophets, false messiahs, who were trying to lead people away to their own ways. And Jesus said, but I am I am the door. I am the way. I am the shepherd who is going to lead the sheep to everlasting life. Verse 9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. This is also representing the kingdom of God, coming into the kingdom of God, Jesus being the door through which one comes into that kingdom and abides there through belief in him. And so there is this belief in Jesus Christ. Again, just like the blind man came to believe through the healing that he received, and he knew who Jesus was. I want to bring to your attention a couple of things in this verse. First, it says, anyone who enters by me will be saved. Right? And so this means we'll be saved from our sins. We'll be saved from our trespasses. Right? And so we come through that door, through Jesus Christ, into forgiveness and also into being children of God. And then this other part, the second part, is we'll go in and out and find pasture. And this phrase is very interesting. William Barclay put it in very, very good terms. I'd like to read to you what he had to say about this. To describe something of what that entrance to God means, Jesus uses a well-known Hebrew phrase. He says that through him, we can go in and come out. To be able to come and go unmolested was the Jewish way of describing a life that is absolutely secure and safe. When a man can go in and out without fear, it means that his country is at peace, that the forces of law and order are supreme, and that he enjoys perfect security. Let me read you a couple of verses from 2 Samuel that underline this concept of going in and coming out, going in and going out. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Behold, we are your bone and flesh. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you who led out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to you, 'You shall be the shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel.'" And so we see this instance of David, and we know that David was a true shepherd. He tended flocks of sheep, right? And that is where he was prepared for the day where he came up against Goliath and was able to slay him, representing God's power against evil of the day. And that was because David was trained as a shepherd of the sheep, and then God made him a shepherd of people. But it's amazing that the people recognized, even though Saul was the king, they recognized the voice of David, who was the one who led them out and brought in Israel. They recognize who it is that they can trust because he is caring for them and loves them. Psalm 121, 7 to 8, you'll remember this one. This beautiful psalm speaks of this as well. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. You know, I've read that verse so many times. And until today, I didn't see it in that light. We're constantly learning things. We're constantly being brought into the things that God is drawing us into in his word, right? He will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And so we remember the words that William Barclay spoke to us about these verses, saying that when a man can go in and without fear, it means that his country is at peace and the forces of law and order are supreme and that he enjoys perfect security. These are the things that God's kingdom represents. These are the things that God gives to us, even in the society we live in today, because we are in God's kingdom. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. And so God is teaching us these things as well for our good, so that we know when we are in Jesus, when we come to the door and go through the door through Jesus Christ, then we are brought into this area of protection and security. Do you feel insecure right now? Do you feel, I mean, I would say that most of us feel that way, right? But we have a word from God addressing that today. Come to Jesus Christ. He is the door that leads us to the security that we need and the protection from the evil that is abounding in this world. He has overcome it and gives us that power through the Holy Spirit to overcome as well. Claim it today. claim that power today. The last verse is verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And this is one of the great verses in the Bible that talks about abundant life. Not just life, but abundant life. The kind that overcomes. The kind that comes into any situation. And if you're like me, we have times when we get down and we get thrown off. I was feeling that way a little bit yesterday. And I was thinking, what is going on here? And I was talking with my wife about it, and I really felt like it was a spiritual battle going on. But God in his goodness, through the word, draws us out of those times because God desires for us to have abundant life. He understands when we're down, but he brings us out of those times through his words. And that's why it's so important for us to read these today together, to encourage each other with these words, to know we have a shepherd who is going to go to all extents for us. I want to share one last important part of scripture with you from the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel chapter 34 really is a powerful statement of what shepherds should be and how they have failed. The ones that God has seen in the world as being his shepherds, how they have failed, and how he had a plan then to bring Jesus as the Messiah and be that shepherd for us. I'll just read a few words to you about this. It's in chapter 34, verse 1 through 6. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says God. Ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. And so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or to seek for them. And then he says this later on in verse 10, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding of the sheep, and no longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. And so this is a very strong prophecy against the shepherds of the day. God came into a situation where kings who were given the responsibility of shepherding the people, right? And some of the things that they were supposed to be doing were searching for people who were lost, getting involved in people's lives, right? Seeking them out. There's a words being repeated all through this chapter, to seek and to find the people that are in need and to help them. Seek out those who have been scattered. We heard in the story that was told of the man in Palestine that he would call out and get the ones who had lost their way, get the sheep that had lost their way and were caught in crags in different places so that they would hear where they're supposed to go. These shepherds of the day didn't do that. They were completely consumed with themselves. They were feeding their own stomachs. And they were so self-absorbed that all the sheep went off by themselves and they had no one to find them. And so God is calling these leaders out, these people at that time. They were supposed to feed them with good pasture, it says later on in the chapter. They were supposed to help them to lie down in good grazing land, just like David wrote in Psalm 23. They were supposed to feed on the rich pasture, right, and on the mountains of Israel. And so God said this to them, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. Not you anymore. I myself will make them lie down. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will help the injured so that they are finding healing for their bodies. And I will strengthen the weak and the fat and the strong. I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. And so I really feel that just as we are able to relate today in what is going on around us, that we have a shepherd who wants to come and help us and to guide us and to strengthen us. There is also a judgment from God on people that are not doing that. And it's not just the leaders. We all can fall into this kind of a scenario. And it's very important that we take that to heart. that we are here to serve just as Jesus taught his disciples by bowing down and washing their feet. We become too afraid. We become too afraid of our own harm. And it doesn't matter whether there's a virus or not. What we need to be doing is focusing our lives on helping people who are lost to find Jesus and that they will be led into his kingdom. Take them to the door. Take them to the shepherd. Show them what kind of a God we have. Not one who is pompous and trying to feed their own face, right? But one who is giving up everything that he has for the sake of those who are lost, lying down at the place where they can come in so that they can find their way into the fold. That is what God is desiring for us to share with people. Do you know if anybody has ever heard of such a thing before? I've never come across this in any other part of my life. It's only through God, it's only through Jesus, through his Bible, that we are able to learn these stories of a gracious God who wants to find the lost and bring them home. He is the true shepherd. He is the one for our souls, and he wants us to be that way as well. The last verse in this chapter says, "You are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God," declares the Lord God. Claim that today, everyone. Claim that God is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. We are human sheep of his pasture, and he is our God. He declares that to us. Do we declare that in our lives too? Let us do so. Let us bring that message, right? Let us meditate on that and encourage one another to look for the lost, right? We're talking about also the young people. I want to emphasize how dangerous it is to follow after thieves and robbers in this world. And there are many. There are people that will come up to you and they will make everything sound that, like, all the things that we're talking about with Jesus and salvation, sin, being a part of church, all those different things, they're going to say, "Oh, come on, don't do that. That's just a bunch of fairy tales." You probably saw the Lord of the Rings, right? The man who played Gandalf, who is supposedly very, very religious and very spiritual and everything like that. As an actor in real life, he said that the Bible is filled with fairy tales. There's no truth to it whatsoever. You know, and so we get accustomed to watch the movies and we get sucked into these things and we think, "Oh, that person must be a very godly person." But we don't know. Right? We get sucked in by these kind of robbers and thieves who would have us not have the life that God wants to give to us, this abundant life. Don't do it. Don't turn to that direction. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Listen for his voice. Beware of any of these false shepherds that draw people away into death. And you will be on the right path for the rest of your life, and you'll see that God will bless you for it. As disciples of Jesus Christ, as his sheep, we imitate him just as Jesus taught his disciples. We are to imitate his servant attitude. We are to imitate his actions, his self-sacrifice, right? When we see people in our lives, we are to engage with them, not merely with the Bible and teaching them the words of it so that they can know what we know, but to go beyond that and to live with people and to get to know them so that they, when they hear your voice coming, and when you hear their voice, then you will have that connection that God so much wants us to learn through his example today, right? It's Jesus Christ that can do those kind of things. There's a lot more to discipling than just meeting with someone to share the gospel. It's an involvement, a commitment, and it's the same thing with church. Maybe you're finding yourself desiring to stay away, right, during this time. I know the people that are listening today didn't do that, but all of us are tempted sometimes to feel that way. But when we come to our senses, really, and think about it, that this is the source of our lives. This is the way that we come to a better understanding of what is going on and have victory in these times, even in times of loss. We want to remain true to the path, not so that we can say we're good people, but because we love God and we want to worship him and spend time with him, and we want to spend time with one another. The last thing I want to say to you is I really believe that I can say this based on what we read today. Be a shepherd. Be a shepherd. I know that there are leaders in the church who are called under shepherds of Jesus, the chief shepherd. And that is true. But can't we all be shepherds of one another? Can't we help one another to find our way, to look behind us instead of going forward, to jump into the lake where we can get wet and have fun, but to look behind us and to see if any of the people that are following behind us have lost their way, that something could have happened to them? We get so fixed on one kind of a thing, right? But what about those who are lost? What about those who don't have money? What about those who don't have God? What about those who have lost loved ones? What about those who are struggling with sin in their lives? Something that has caught them up, right? There's a lot of danger in the internet with pornography, all kinds of sexual things that are being thrown at people, right? We need to look at that and all of those things and be careful to help one another to stay in the flock, stay in the way of Christ, follow his lead, come before him and encourage one another in these different ways. When we do that, you know what happens? We have lifelong lasting relationships. We have lifelong lasting relationships with one another, so that when we come to the age that I am, so, and you look back and you think, I was so blessed. All of the people that God put in my life, and they were shepherds. They were shepherds looking after me and saying, John Maxim is this person that I've known since he was born, and he needs me to help show that we belong to God and the kingdom of God is the best place to be. And that's the abundant life. The abundant life comes through the relationship with Jesus, through God the Father and the Holy Spirit, and through the family of God, and the honor and the privilege of going as his disciples to lead other people to him and say, there is a door that leads to eternal life. Amen. So please think about those things and give thanks to God every day for the life that you have. And give thanks that, as we learned from Chu and Patsy, that we have a creator who gave us life and our lives matter to him. And also we have a God who sent his son as a servant to die to show us just how much he loves us. And then third, we have Jesus Christ as our shepherd, who has a rod and a staff to lead us and to fight off those who try to harm us. He's got a lot invested in us, his whole life. And so let's do the same and show the investment that we have in Christ to other people so that they will know him. And as Mayor Fosdick taught us, that we will love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. Let's sing a song of response now. It's called The Lord is My Shepherd. It's a video and we can sing along.